Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you so much for your leading. We thank you so much for your guiding. We thank you so much for your great grace that has been extended to us by faith or through faith. God, we just pray that we would see the full working of the Spirit in our lives as we endeavor to live a godly life for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Every Christian goes through a certain time in their life, or many certain times in their life, where they're close to God, they're following God's word, they're in tune, and the relationship is deep with their Lord and Savior. And then many of us also experience at times of dryness, times of coldness, times of feeding the flesh, times of going in a different direction than what we're supposed to. And at those times, some of us may struggle with, if we are Christians, why don't we always live a godly life? Why are there times in our life that it doesn't seem as if we're as close to our Savior as we used to be? Some of those can be weekly differences. Some of those can be monthly differences. Some of those can be yearly differences. I would say in a Christian's life, most of the time it's a short amount of time in a backslidden state before one receives conviction of the Holy Spirit, a leading and drawing by the Holy Spirit, and a chance to repent, to turn, and to endeavor to follow Him. However, there's some certain characteristics within every individual that is a Christian that should be true in the leading of the Holy Spirit in their life. And we took all of last Sunday morning to talk about this pattern that we have because we are Christians. Our outview and look life totally changed because we have this new spiritual wisdom given to us by salvation. This ability to love the brethren. Second thing that we can identify if we're led by the Spirit is desire to live for the glory of God. Why? Because Christ now is our pattern, and through the Holy Spirit we desire to pattern Christ. And of course we can read John chapter 17 is probably the most open view of Christ's desire to glorify His Father and His Father to glorify Him. And we to glorify Christ and we to be glorified by Christ. Is that a desire in your life? Is there a true desire in your life as whatever part of your life, as you're going through different trials and difficulties within your life, is there this desire to glorify God with your life? Many people pretend that God is some type of access to their own dreams instead of letting God identify His will to their life. And the way that God has been described to our culture is not the God of the Bible, but is the false God of man's manipulation. I have more respect for people that declare that they don't believe in God than people that try to represent this God of their own making that doesn't need glorified, that doesn't have any power, that doesn't have any strength. And we do not attempt to follow Him through the new natures given to us at our new birth. Now there are many enemies that we have that are trying to lead by the desires of our body into a different direction than glorifying God. They want us to glorify their desires, to make their desires the main focus of our lives so that we might follow those desires and become disappointment to God, and not being able to have fellowship and not being able to be a useful vessel in His servant's service for His honor and His glory. Many of us, if honest, have times in our lives that we are not glorifying Christ. That's why we need to meet together every week and be reminded we have a bigger purpose than just ourselves. Because we're Christians, we are to be led by the Spirit in our glorifying of Christ. Third distinction of those that are led by the Spirit is their desire to know God. Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter 3, 9 through 11. And being found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. So we have this drive by the leading of the Spirit to know God, to know him, a desire to not only know him, but to follow him, a desire to build a relationship through the Word of God and the leading of the Spirit of who God is in our life, of his direction that he's leading us in our lives, of his desire in Philippians chapter 3 to show us the fellowship of his suffering and the power of his resurrection, that looking to that day of our resurrection, that we may be rewarded on the day of our resurrection from the dead, because we have given our lives to Jesus Christ and we know God and we know this awesome promise of his fellowship. We'll get into the power of his resurrection in a future point. Fourth, a dissatisfaction with self concerning our love of God. If you're led by this Spirit, there should be some dissatisfaction within yourself about how much you love God. I don't think any of us that are Christians feel like we love God like we should. There's a desire to what? Well, there's a desire to push on. There's a desire to understand and to see a deeper love of Jesus Christ in our lives. Do you think you're okay with your desire to work for God? Do you think you're okay in your love for God? Do you think that you've given God everything that you can possibly give him? That is a bad sign that you're not being or listening to the leading of the Spirit. Fifth, an increased awareness of the sin within us. Romans 7. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Again, this may be talking about a person in under conviction before he comes to Christ, and it may be talking about a Christian who is looking to his own flesh to fulfill the work of God. Let me say this, there is a evil part of you that can never please God. There's a part of you that has been resurrected, has been given new life, that is being directed by the Holy Spirit. And then there's this other part of you that constantly fights against the direction of the Spirit. And we live in a world today that constantly gives us opportunity to feed that part of us. Right? Now, we are never to be what we were in the first Adam. Romans chapter 6 says, our old man was crucified with Christ that day. Our old man, or what we were in Adam, was totally crucified. That is a perfect present tense. When we came to Christ, new life was given. That new life was given for the purpose of us not being under the old Adam. Remember, Romans chapter 5 talks about our two headships. Either we're under the first Adam, who is controlled by Satan, and or we're under Christ, who is controlled by God. God being Christ, obviously. We're under the kingdom of darkness, or we're under the kingdom of light. However, the body is death because of unrighteousness. So this body that I dwell in, the desires that are produced out of this body, although sometimes given in a correct way, if not led by the Holy Spirit, is never righteous. And it can never please God. So a Christian, listen to me, has this unique opportunity to please God through his body because it is dead. It dies daily to its desires and gives itself fully to the leading and the direction of the Spirit. Now, the leading of the Spirit is to exalt who, according to John 14, 15, and 16? To exalt what? To exalt Christ, right? How do we know what Christ wants us to do? Well, it's recorded for us in his word, correct? So if you're only cracking open your Bible on Sunday and through the rest of the week, and I'm guilty of this, right? As your pastor, I'm guilty of some weeks maybe looking at the Bible, but not really letting the Holy Spirit lead me in my study of the Bible. And that is evident because I'm giving into desires of the flesh that are contrary to the Word of God. Hello, Christian, you've been there before? What's the problem? The problem is we are quenching the leading of the Spirit because we're giving in to the leading of our desires. Guilty. That's why we need each other, to encourage each other to good works. That's why we need friends and fellowship. That's why you older men should be getting alongside of the younger men and encouraging them. That's why some of the more mature, well, elderly women should be getting in front of the younger women and guiding them in the correctness and what their calling is. That's why I, as a father, need to be loving and teaching and training my children so that they can obey the leading of the Spirit. That's why we need honesty within our relationships as husbands and wives, where we're not always trying to defend ourselves. By the way, you would all agree that are married, the more you defend yourselves at times, the more probably it's proof that you're going according to your desires instead of according to the leading of the Spirit. Hopefully I'm not giving any secrets to my wife. She probably already figured that one out a long time ago. All right? So, just be honest. I'm talking about two Christians that are married that desire is to glorify God. Okay? Not to tear each other down. If you have a desire to glorify God, you, as two individuals that are saved. So if you are saved to an unsaved person, don't nag him with this. Does everybody understand? Or her, or whoever. Don't nag with this. But if you have two saved individuals that's desirous to glorify God, there's nothing wrong in prayer and the leading of the Spirit with directly encouraging each other to good works. Do you have a desire to know God? Do you understand a dissatisfaction with self concerning our love of God? Are you increasing your awareness of the sin that is within us? And that sin cannot produce anything that is pleasing towards God. If that is the case, then that is identifications that you are led by the Spirit, so therefore you are a son or daughter of God. Sixth, is the attitude towards our sin this? We are just annoyed because of the hard results of sin. Or is it we are broken and aware of the darkness of sin? How many of you ever remember as a little child? All my thievery always has been around food. I never cared much about money, but I loved to steal food, and especially sweet food. Not much has changed. But I remember sweets, you know, thieving sweets, especially for my, you know, people that could cook really good. And my mom did have some very special sweet things that she would make and were off limits to us. So we would endeavor to, if she put chocolate chips cookies on a plate, we would endeavor to steal the cookie in such a way that she couldn't tell that we stole it. Anybody know what I'm talking about there? So what happened, Sarah? As a little child, I wasn't annoyed about disobeying my parents. I was annoyed that I got caught. And if I wouldn't have got caught, I would have kept on doing the same thing. Right? But I knew if I took 3 or 4 cookies at a time, it would be very easy to be caught. So I didn't take 3 or 4. There was awareness within me that I would get caught if I took too many. So many people we sent up to a line because we're afraid to get caught. And when we're not listening to the leading of the Spirit, that's exactly what we act like as Christians at times. We go to a certain point to give the desires of our flesh without crossing a point where it would feel, where we'd feel conviction. The problem with that, Christian, is if you continue to do that, that line seems to get further and further until you're doing things you'd never thought you'd do. You harden yourself to the conviction and the softening of the Spirit. Each one of us have different struggles in that area that we have to identify, and we have to get serious about destroying in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 describes this in such a perfect way. Of course, the Corinthian church had so many problems in 1 Corinthians, so many issues, fornication, jealousy, self-righteousness, taking people to court that were their brothers and sisters in Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 9, Paul says this, "Now rejoice," 2 Corinthians 7, verse 9, "Now rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For ye were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For the godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of this world worketh death." All right, so Christian, let me stop here just for a second before we get into the characteristics of what this godly sorrow looks like, what our attitude towards sin should be. Here we have a compare and contrast of two types of sorrow. Godly sorrow that worketh repentance, that works a change, not to repent, be repented of, because it has power behind it. True repentance gives us power. Power given to us by the Holy Spirit. Power and given to us by Christ's death on the cross. This power to see our lives change for God's glory. Right? But then we have this worldly power that worketh death. This worldly sorrow. This worldly regret. This worldly pain because of our sin. And what does it work? It works death. Now remember, any chastisement according to Hebrews, I believe it's 13, that you 12 or 13, that you get from God as His child is to build you closer to His holiness and for your benefit. Any sorrow that you get from this world is to destroy you and to make you closer to death. One illustration is who? Judas, right? He felt sorry for giving over Christ to the religious crowd. He felt sorry because Christ was perfect, and he realized he had given over an innocent man. What did he do? He hung himself. Because his sorrow was not the sorrow of God that led to repentance. His sorrow was the sorrow of this world that led to death. So what's the characteristics of this sorrow that worketh repentance? For behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after godly sorrow, what carefulness is wrought in you? And this is another point of being led by the Spirit that I'll address in just a few minutes. There's a carefulness within us as Christians. When we fail, we are very careful. It's funny because let me say this. As a preacher, as I'm preaching, I'm already identifying things that I need to be careful with. So, but understand that? As you talk and you encourage each other in the Lord at church to be careful about certain things, what will start happening is, if you're a Christian and you're filled with Christ and forgiveness, Christ will start identifying in you things you need to be careful of and to get right. Yea, what clearing of yourselves. So this desire to prove that you've changed, this desire to get rid and full forgiveness and take care of any debt you might have one towards another. Yea, what indignation. Do you hate the failures that you do when you give in to the desires of the flesh? I can't admit that all of this has happened. But there will be times in a Christian's life that he hates the sins that he does. Have you ever had a time in your life, Christian, where you looked back at decisions and you hated what you did? Yea, what fear. Godly respect will be part of our character as Christians. Yea, what vehement desire. A strong fervor to do the things of God. Yea, what zeal, action, exciting action. Yea, what revenge. In all things ye have approved yourself to be clear in this matter. So what did they do as a church? They cleared their name. They went towards righteousness. They cleared this cause of corruption in the church. They took revenge against us in a godly way. Obviously, God revenges, but God has direction towards corporate identities to take care of problems. So as a church, if we are to discipline, we're not taking vengeance on our own. God has commanded us to do that as a church. When a government puts to death a murderer, that is godly justice. When a government puts into jail a criminal, that is godly justice. When a government tries to close down churches, that's not a godly thing. And we don't obey them. Everybody clear? Families. Corporate punishment is proper in families. Your children need discipline. All of us as parents understand that, right? It's hard to do, but it's godly to do. So as we look at this and we understand this, what are we doing in our personal lives to show that we have godly repentance? What are we distributing and action are we taking to show the reality of our desire to please God? Seventh. We grow sensitive to the approach of sin. The phrase "take heed" is found 65 times in the scriptures. Watch is found 10 times. Are we taking heed? Or are we living our Christian life in carelessness? We as 21st century Christians are so... We're so careless with our Christian lives at times. We just think that we can have everything that's available to the world with no protections, no guidelines, no restrictions, and we'll be just fine. Live with the reality that you have a flesh that is wicked. Okay? Live with the reality that you have a flesh that wants to go beyond and defraud you. Live with the reality that if giving into the flesh, Christian, there will come a point where it will take control of your actions. Be watchful. Be mindful of your weakness of the flesh. Be mindful of your strength in the Spirit. Be mindful of those things. These are practical applications to us that we can get through temptations as Christians. There's practical applications of our position in Christ. There's a practical now application of the reality of what it means to be led by the Spirit. Christian, how much stuff from this world is just off limits to you? You're just not going to involve yourself with because of your desires in the flesh. How much music is just off limits? How much entertainment is just off limits? Are we sensitive to the approach of sin in our life? Can we identify when we're going down the path of temptation? Are we identifying that God is making a way of escape for us down those paths of temptation? Or are we just walking blindly down that path, making foolish decisions because of the direction of our flesh? Again, when I preach this way, I'm preaching primarily to myself. And you take what I'm preaching, and if it applies to you, amen. Let's together. The biggest leadership that a pastor has is direction through the Bible on where we should go. And that's mostly done through preaching. All right? So as I preach the Word of God, I'm giving us direction as a church through the Word of God, through the power of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes I have to remind myself, hey, I'm getting off the path that I'm directing to you, right? And sometimes you have to remind yourself, yeah, we support each other at church, but we're getting off that path. Get back on the path, okay? That's what's awesome about a Christian. We can ask God to forgive us, we can repent, and we can get right back on that path. Eighth, a strong desire for holiness. How do I know I'm led by the Spirit? How do I know I'm a son of God? Because you have a desire to be holy. You have a desire to be right. You're not looking always for, and I'm not talking about self-righteousness. I'm talking about through the power of the Spirit, obeying the law of God. I am tired of Christianity today. That's a news organization that you'll waste your time if you read any of their news. But Christianity, and I'm not talking about the news organization, I'm just saying Christianity today is all about this softness towards sin. It's all about bringing Christ down to our level and how He loves us despite our sin. And amen, He did love us despite our sin. You know how He showed His love? By dying because of our sin. How would you feel if a person gave you their lives to help you with a problem? Not only gave their lives to you to help you because of a problem, but also empowered you to be able to take care of that problem. And you decided to live your life in that problem. Parents who do everything they can to educate their children, give them every opportunity to be educated in school, give them every opportunity to be tutored and give tutelage and give every opportunity to do the best they can. That individual child has the brains to do it, but he just decides to be lazy and to neglect everything his parents have given them. What do we think about those type of children as they grow up? What a brat that isn't thankful for what their parents have sacrificed for them. But no, as Christians, we're making all sorts of excuses why we can live our Christian lives as unholy, unrighteous individuals. in today's Christianity. Why? Because it's not real Christianity. If you're led by the Spirit, you will have a desire for holiness. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Is there a desire in your heart to please and do the things of God? Is there a desire in your heart when peer pressure comes on you to say no to that peer pressure and yes to God because you're a Christian? When there's peer pressure put on you because of the desires of the flesh, are we thankful for the position we have in Christ because we're led by the Spirit? Ninth, the desires from the Holy Spirit will translate into action. If you're led by the Spirit, those desires by the Spirit at times in your life will have no choice but to be translated into action by an individual. How did Christ? I will give you rivers of water that will flow into and out of you. He was talking about the giving of the Spirit. Not at every time in our life do we experience this, but Christian, have you experienced the leading of the Spirit in such a way that His actions, that He's working in your life, come into you and flow out of you towards others? Romans 8. Romans 8, 12 to 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. And then, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Christian, you have no debt. You have no debt to the desires of the flesh. How many of you have ever been tempted with something good and given up the best for something good? You think, I've worked so hard, I deserve this. But you know in your heart that the Holy Spirit isn't leading you in that direction. Your flesh is leading you in that direction. And it's not necessarily bad in and of itself, right? But you know as a Christian, now I'm not being very pointed in this because these aren't things in and of themselves that are wrong. Does everybody understand that? These things aren't wrong, but you know that the Holy Spirit isn't leading you to do those things. Christian, you know, everybody have that situation in your mind. You are not in debt to your flesh. Well, I owe it to myself. How many of you have ever heard that phrase? I owe it to myself. No, you don't. You're a Christian. You don't owe anything to yourself. You owe everything to Christ. I owe it to myself to chase my dreams. I owe it to myself to have some me time. I love me time. I owe it to myself, fill in the blank. No, you're not. You don't. You are not a debtor to the flesh. You are a debtor to Christ. I owe it to myself to get the best education to fulfill my career or my desires in my career. Have you even spent any time praying to God about His direction for your career? I'm not against careers. I think everybody should endeavor to do what they desire to do if it's directed by the Holy Spirit. What are you doing? Are your desires from the Spirit being translated into action. We aren't friends with this world because we understand it is an enemy of God. We won't love this world. 1 John 2:15-16, right? All of us know this. Love not the world, neither things of the in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life are not of this Father, but are of this world. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. 1 Peter 2:11-12. 1 Peter 2:11-12. It makes us understand we are strangers and pilgrims in this world. 1 Peter 2:11-12. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversations honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves to every ordinance. Okay, so we see here that we are strangers and pilgrims of this world to abstain from our fleshly what? Lust, our fleshly desires. Notice he didn't say, if you're a Christian, you'll never have fleshly desires. Is that what he said? He said to abstain from those fleshly desires. Don't let the devil trick you into saying, if you have certain desires, there's no way that you can be a Christian. No, that's not what the Bible says. It says to abstain from those desires. Tenth proof that we are being led by the Spirit. Tenth, are we manifesting the fruit of the Spirit? Are we manifesting the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5:22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Because I believe every Christian has these fruit of the Spirit in their lives. The problem is we are not giving into those spiritual desires, but rather giving into those fleshly desires. So we can judge a desire because, see, the devil's not stupid, Christian. He's very smart in how he presents things. It doesn't present you with something that is just deplorable and wicked if you grew up in a Christian home. He presents you with a desire that looks good on the outside. It looks good on how he presents it. It looks fine. It looks good to the eye and something that can make somebody wise. Right? What is happening here? The Holy Spirit, on the other hand, is actually identifying produce or producing something within your life that is good internally. That when you partake of the Spirit of God, He produces this fruit in your life. All right? When you are partaking of what is produced by the flesh, it's producing all sorts of evilness and contention within your life. So what's the key for us as Christians? I gotta find Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. If, verse 25, this is the key for a Christian. If we live in the Spirit. So if you're saved, if the Spirit is in you, If he's living in you and you're living in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Now, walk is a very interesting term. It's kind of a military term. And that term is set yourself in order under somebody's direction. Set yourself in order under somebody's direction. So you live in this Spirit, and the Spirit is giving you life. How do you respond to that? What's your responsibility through the power of the new nature given to you? Through the power of the Spirit given to you? Well, it's to walk in the Spirit. It's to set yourself under that direction, not to set yourself under the direction of the flesh. How do I know when I'm setting myself under the direction of the Spirit? You have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, temperance, goodness. You'll have faith. You'll have joy. You'll have peace. How do I know when I'm setting myself under the direction of the flesh? You'll have fornication, you'll have uncleanness, you'll have lasciviousness, you'll have idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. You'll be envious, you'll be have hatred or murders, you'll have drunkenness, revelings, and such the like. So what's some fruit of the flesh? Envy. What's some fruit of the flesh? Murder. Well, what do we know is accompanied by murder? Hatred for the brethren. According to Matthew chapter 5, in God's eyes, hatred for the brethren is just as bad as murder. How do we know that we have fornication? Because we have unclean desires. Because we know that God says in Matthew chapter 5, that if a man looks on a woman to lust after him in his heart, he hath committed adultery with her in his heart. How do we know that we're giving into idolatry? Because we're placing things in front of God, as idols in front of God. Are you manifesting the fruit of the Spirit in your life? Are you led by the Spirit in your life? Or is this not a reality within your life? So, Christian, what is the hope of your calling? Well, the hope of your calling is a new body in heaven with Christ forever. What's your hope of your calling that you've experienced right now? Being led by the Spirit. What are you doing with that leading in the times of our difficult days? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you.